So I'm introduced. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
I hate doing intros. You know I hate intros.
Yeah, but you're so much better at it than I am. I start with
I think you should do it.
God, no. I tell you what, we'll you start and we'll see what happens.
It's such a joke. Okay. All right, let's get into it. Hello.
Hiya.
Are you fucking I'm not doing it.
Go on, I won't do it this time.
Yeah, you will.
I won't, I promise.
You're so self-conscious.
You're okay. Very good at it, honest.
Stop. I'm so sorry. We're wasting so much time. Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to One Shared Brain Cell. There is myself, Fiona, off of The Spare Room. And we have Rich.
Hello.
Off of...
Tarantula Family.
Thank you so much. And we have Leah.
Hi there.
And this week, we have an incredible guest who we're both very excited about.
Very much so.
And we talk about a lot in very, very good ways. Do you want to introduce?
Hello. Yes, it's genuinely our great pleasure and to invite... Oh, Christ, I've gone wrong already.
What do you mean? Oh,
should I have been invited?
You did a whole thing about Hazel's weird pets being like, no, Hazel is... Weird Hazel's pets, yes. And now you can't introduce her.
Yeah, I know, I've gone shy.
Oh. Right. And we have the best guest, someone who we talk about actually quite frequently, weirdly. I hope that isn't creepy. You know what? If it's creepy, that's fine. It is Hazel off of Hazel's Weird Pets.
Hi.
Oh, I wanted to introduce you, but Fiona just seems to take over everything.
Absolute joke.
How are you doing? Everything okay?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here because, like, I love the podcast. Like, I think I discovered you in, like, your second episode when you were talking about why tarantulas are great if you don't have a pot to piss in. And at the time, I did not have a pot to piss in, so it was highly, highly relatable. And then I put out another episode sometime later saying, like, why they're great if your mental health is shit. And I was like, my mental health is awful. So this podcast was made for me.
Honestly, excellent. I love that so much.
We are so happy you could join us today. We are, yeah, we're very much looking forward to having a good natter.
Mm.
Yeah.
So should we catch up on, like, the last month? Do you have any news?
Not really. I've been, like, really busy with work recently because, like, I work in hospitality and at the moment it's, like, the Christmas shoppers season, so they're all coming into the city and I have to feed them and make them drinks. But I'm looking forward to spring. I'm looking forward to, like, the invert shows being on again. I'm looking forward to maybe, like, buying a few more tarantulas this year because I feel like a lot of people think I have more than I actually have. I only have 7, so I've actually got, like, space for more, which is really cool. I want to get some more Syria Cosmos. I want to get some more wolf spiders. I want to get some scorpions. I have a lot of plans, but just not enough money at the moment.
Yeah, amazing. Completely fair. Like, December is not the time to expand your...
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah,
I mean, it's cold outside as well, so I get nervous when I have to, like, ship them in the cold, you know.
Yeah, a lot of places won't post over the really cold days, will they? Like, cold weather. Yeah, quite rightly too. Yeah,
yeah. I got into tarantulas in the winter originally.
Did you?
And so it was kind of just normal, like, because I didn't really, like, know too much in the beginning. I was just like, oh yeah, they've just got a heat pack, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you'd get, like, an order that would be delayed by a day and just be like panicking.
Mm.
Yeah, I had that when I got my Homeoma chelensi, which is, like, my dream spider. Yeah, it was a tiny, tiny sling being shipped and it got delayed by, I think, one day. And, like, it was a cold night that night and I was very nervous. She was absolutely fine, but yeah, it was not good for my mental state.
No, so worrying, especially with slings. You're like, oh.
Mm.
It goes to prove how hardy they are, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. It really does.
Because I said, when I think I always worry about overnight temperatures and as soon as it starts getting a little bit cold, because I'm one of those people that will just wear shorts and a t-shirt around all year round, and then I'll get under a blanket if I'm cold at home. But then you start really worrying that, like, flow and everyone is okay. So then you look at them and you go online to recheck your research, and it says they're like on frosty plains, like frozen plains overnight in the winter.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, that's crazy.
And then you think I'm worrying about like 18 degrees in my kitchen. It's,
I know, exactly.
And my spider's just 1 or 2 degrees too cold.
Yeah,
honestly. Like I was speaking to a guy who was worried about his tarantulas being so cold that he wanted to put them on a heat mat. And I was like, don't put your tarantulas on a heat mat, Jesus Christ. And he was like, yeah, well, my centipede is fine, so I'm going to do that. And I was like, okay, why did you ask me?
Yeah. I genuinely think you asked it. It was just to put responsibility on you. If anything went wrong, like, well, I asked the spare room.
I asked the spare room and completely ignored her advice. Now my tarantula is dead. Yeah. Cancelled.
I didn't take her advice at all, but I did ask her.
I meant following you forever.
Someone asked me about heat mats the other day as well, and I was like, oh, not this, please.
No, honestly. I used little tiny 6-watt heat mats the first time I got tarantulas. Literally, the first month I had tarantulas, because I was so worried about it being too cold. And I had them on a thermostat and everything. And the heat mats were so small, I had them taped to photo frames and then, like, stood up against the side of the enclosure. But then, obviously, I swiftly learned that you don't do that. Mm. Even though they were on a thermostat, like, it's just still not good for them.
Yeah, that would make me so nervous.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, great. Okay, I can take my photo frame heat mats down. Photo frame
heat mat. I was talking to a new friend last night, somebody that's... and I saw a new keeper as well.
God, your first friend?
My first ever actual friend, yeah. She doesn't know that yet. I'm told that she's my friend yet. She was asking about, and we were talking about, tarantulas getting their necessary moisture for drinking out of substrate. And I was like, you know, I don't know. And it was just a sort of conversation we were having. I don't think she was really asking because she didn't know. We were just talking about it. And I was like, it's amazing that, you know, how much there is to learn. Is there anything that you have discovered or anything that you think is so basic but it took you so long to realize it, or are you just good keepers?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, I was obsessed with tarantulas for a really long time before I actually started keeping, so I like to think that by the time I got them I was prepared, but I feel like I still wasn't, because I mean, one of the first thing that happened when I got my I started off with two slings. I got a little T. Vegan sling and also a little pumpkin patch sling. And my pumpkin patch pretty much instantly buried himself.
Yeah.
I was not prepared for those like 2 months that I didn't see him for, because like I confess that I actually did dig him up in the end.
I think everyone's done that.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear it, because like obviously that's something that everyone's like, no, you should never do that, but I've done, like, I'm completely guilty.
If there's any keeper out there that says they haven't dug up a tarantula, they are just lying.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the same with Flo. Flo was like a fingernail size when I got her, and she pretty much disappeared. I got her in January, and she pretty much disappeared for 3 or 4 months. I completely didn't see her at all.
Ooh.
And I was like, is she escaped? And you do think...
Because that's what I thought had happened to Zed, because I could see, I'd literally just rehoused him, so I could see like a little trail of webbing that led like almost to the entrance, and I was like, oh, did I leave it open overnight? And I was scared, but he was actually just under the ground, and like I dug him up and he was kind of in like a bag of his own webbing, and I was like, guy, did you do this intentionally? Or like, but yeah, he was fine, and he just came back up in his own time, and thank you.
Just to show how hardy they are, doesn't it, really? I think it must just be when they're slings, they're just like, I'm not quite big enough to look after myself yet, so I'm just gonna hide.
Also, how boring is it? Can you imagine like being down a hole without like a Instagram? Like, what do they do down there?
I want to know what they're thinking about. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm obsessed with this game called Block Blast at the moment, and I can't imagine being stuck down a hole without Block Blast.
It's being stuck down a hole's fine.
Yeah, as long as I have a Wi-Fi connection on my phone.
Okay, that's cool.
And possibly my boyfriend.
You're quite robust, aren't you? You could survive any situation.
I'm robust. That's the fanciest way someone's called me fat before. Robust.
I don't believe
I'm going to kill myself.
I don't believe I've ever. I meant. Oh, moving swiftly on.
Anyway, so I actually didn't know you had 7 tarantulas. I only knew about a couple of them. And then obviously you've got Fig and Willow.
Yeah, I actually don't have Fig anymore. He died at the beginning of the year, but like he died very, very old. He, I mean, according to like the note that I got from his breeder, he actually hatched in October 2021, and then he lasted until spring 2024, which is insane. He was a male jumping spider. Like they're not supposed to live for very long.
But yeah, he was like 2 years at most. But he was a male, wasn't he? So you get like 18 months out of them.
Awesome. And it just shows that, like, because a lot of people don't like to keep male jumping spiders, you know, because they're like, oh, what's the point if they're only going to live for a few months? But, like, he just proved them all wrong, so.
Yeah.
It's always worth taking a chance on a male jumping spider.
I actually do have another male at the moment. I've got a little male called Mittens.
Oh, lush. We were saying earlier on the subject of having a food called Mittens, we were saying about, and I think I've said this to you before, the sheer levels of cute that you get, right, of your little ones.
Oh my god, the pictures you take are so good.
It's unknown levels of cuteness.
I honestly, I get so jealous because my animals, when I look at them, I'm like, oh my god, you're the most adorable things I've ever seen. And then I take pictures and they look like I can't say what I wanted to say. Fresh out of Chernobyl. No, and they just don't look as cute. Excuse me, and they just don't look as cute as yours. Like the pictures you take of Rex, your Leo, absolutely killed me. And yeah, especially Bob has my whole heart.
Oh yeah, Bob is really photogenic. But I mean, you don't have to worry, because like for every one cute photo, like I'm sure you've said this as well before, that for every cute like photo there's like 20 or maybe even like 40 that are just not that cute, and then I find one that's really cute and I post that.
But do you still have the other ones on your phone though, or your camera?
I can't delete a picture.
No, I'm with you there. You can't delete a picture. If you take it, you're like,
oh, sorry.
My cat Moon was asleep on my bed earlier, and I woke him. I woke him up. I took some pictures of him, and then I was trying to pick a favorite, and I was like, I can't. And then also, I couldn't delete the other ones, so I was like, can't delete pictures of my son, because then my brain goes, well, one day he's going to be dead, Fiona, and then what pictures are you going to look at? It's not like I don't have a million, but also Moon's never going to die. Anyway, we've derailed.
That's very much this podcast, I feel.
Good.
Because like the other one, obviously you've been on like a break, and the other one that I've had to listen to like in the meantime is Tom Moran, and I do love Tom Moran and his podcast is great, but like obviously he does it like mainly by himself, so he can't, like, he has no one to abuse him, and it's kind of like it's missing that, you know.
Yeah, I get you. It's very like factual. And
so the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine,
have a deal. Right, anyway, so I've got a list of your of my favorite animals that you have, and pretty much I've listed so you've my favorite tarantulas of yours are Zed and Nakia, and then Rex, obviously just stunning, perfect, no notes. Bob, honestly, I would die I would run into a burning building to save Bob.
He is baby. Yeah.
He is such an angel. And he actually, I recently rescued a little royal called Steve. And he he's so cute. And he actually reminds me of Bob. Like, he's got that proper just like puppy dog little, like.
They do have puppy faces, don't they?
Yeah, like a little innocent face. Like, I used to have a royal called Latte, who I had to rehome in April. He was just adorable, but he didn't have like a little puppy dog face.
Oh.
Like Steve does, and I'm so glad he's coming to my life. And then obviously Percy, legend.
Oh, my little boy, yeah. You know, you're all my little boy.
Yeah, honestly, all of my animals, I'm like, my child.
Yeah, like I'm talking about one of them to someone and I'll be like, yeah, he is my favorite, I would die for him. And then we move on to another one and I'm like, yeah, he's my favorite too.
Honestly,
rightly so too.
Genuinely, yeah. When I first got together with my boyfriend, he said, right, when you meet, because obviously he knows my animals are like my life. So he said, he just said, just one thing though, like when you meet my friends, like you've got to tell them what your animals are, because I refer to Moon as my son. And he's like, people are going to think you've got a son. And I was like, yeah, but I do. And he was like, yeah, but a human one. And I was like, okay, fine, censor me. Whatever.
Yeah, you can't be an old cat lady and a young girlfriend at the same time.
Okay, I'm not an old cat lady.
That's what I said. God, you can argue with me when I'm agreeing with you.
No, but you said I can't be an old cat lady and a young what? Girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm a young girlfriend that has a cat.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're trying to do right now. I don't get the bit.
There wasn't a bit. I was just saying, you can't be an old cat lady if you're young with a big boyfriend.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant I was acting like an old cat lady.
No.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, so...
it's a new section called When Compliments Go Wrong.
And it's always...
You're trying to be nice.
I don't like it when he's nice. He thanked me for something earlier, so I told him to eat a dick. Please. Aww. So I couldn't introduce Moon as my 5-year-old son for a while, but he is my 5-year-old son. He's also almost 6, right? Sorry, I've been derailed again by myself.
You are you're qualified in something quite interesting, aren't you? Something very interesting.
Yeah, my degree is in biology, but I'm actually like pretty ashamed to say that when I was studying biology, like I didn't find insect biology that interesting, or like arthropod biology in general, because it was all about like, they would be like, how could you get, you know, like this complex named leg mixed up with this other complex named leg? And it was all just like, it just didn't like, I was more of a plant girl at the time. Like my kind of aim was to like study plant disease. And then I only really got into tarantulas in my final year when I'd already kind of, well, I was studying fungal genetics at the time, so like quite different. I kind of regret that now, because I feel like if I'd had the interest at the time, I would have done a lot more to do with that.
So when you're looking at, say, if you're doing some research on a new insect or arachnid, do you look at it as a biologist, or do you approach it as a keeper?
Ooh, probably a little bit of both. I feel like I would do the science stuff, but after I've been like, you know, mushing about how cute it is and how cool it is for like 10 minutes first. So yeah, I get my keep a bit out of the way and then I can do the science. But
right, so you could, yeah, you can use both sides to get the actual knowledge and the love.
And exactly.
That's okay, excellent. And are you intending to utilize your qualifications at some point? I think you did.
I would like to. Yeah.
You said you were looking for the right position, weren't you? Something you actually wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I had the misfortune of like, as soon as I graduated, like the cost of living crisis started. Yeah, unfortunately, I was then unemployed for like 5 months and I just had to take whatever job came my way. And that happened to be a job in a cafe. So, yeah, not very scientific. There are jumping spiders who live in like the concourse of the shopping centre, which is really nice to see every summer and every spring. But other than that, yeah, it couldn't be less related to science. But yeah, I'm hoping to find like a PhD course to go on, which may or may not be spider related. I'm not sure. But yeah, we'll see.
Oh, fantastic. Well, keep us updated.
Will do.
That's so clever. We consistently have very intelligent people in here. How do we do it?
I was going to say, like, I really hope that you're ready for, like, the step down from Jeremy to me, because, like, Jeremy's so smart.
No, honestly, all up, so yeah, smart. Really.
Big smart.
Yeah, proper smart.
I've got a little tiny pea brain and rattles around in my head. My massive...
That's how Jeremy makes me feel. I've seen him at shows before, but I've been, like, and I've thought about going up to him, but I've kind of been, like... He's going to just call me an idiot. But
he's the nicest person ever.
I know what you mean, though. Like, you get intimidated, don't you? And even though, like, Jeremy is literally the sweetest human that's ever, like, lived.
Yeah, I've watched his YouTube channel. I know that he's lovely, and like I see him talking to other people, and he's lovely. But I'm just like, I'm not intellectual enough.
You are.
You very much are.
For real, you just said I was studying fungal disease.
Fungal genetics.
Fungal genetics. I never said those two words together in my life.
I posted like a photo of some of the like things that I was working with. I was working with armillaria, which is like it's a pathogenic fungus that kind of targets trees. And I had some growing on a little petri dish. And I think Rich, you messaged me on Instagram and you were like, oh, that's really cool. And at the time, like, I was in dissertation, so I was like, yeah. But that's how I met Rich.
No way.
Oh, wow, okay, cool.
Do you remember that?
The worst thing about it is my memory is 100% shocking. I mean, and not just with like people and posts and fellow keepers, but with absolutely everything. I don't know what it is. Old age, I'm going to say old age before Fiona does.
I would never come for your age. There's far too much content to come for that.
Yes. But I mean, and it's not even like I chat to that many people. I genuinely don't chat to like maybe half a dozen people at the most. But my memory is so shocking, and it's embarrassing as well, because I always think I'm going to embarrass myself when I talk to someone. Like if I talk to a fellow keeper, they're going to go, yeah, he knows nothing and he can't remember anything he's ever said to me. Do you know, it's like I always feel like I'm going to embarrass myself hideously whenever I talk to anyone. That's why I never meet anyone. That's why I never go anywhere.
How did we meet? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I bought an OBT off you.
You did.
And you hand-delivered it. Mm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, I was only down the road, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I'm about to post my old man to an old man. There it is.
There we go. I feel like I can relax now. It's come and gone.
Got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Now on to the good stuff.
Now on to the missing teeth and shaped like a shit snowman.
Like what, a shit snowman?
No, and you're shaped like a snowman.
That would be big coming from me. I am also shaped like a fucking snowman. Melted one. I look like a melted ice cream that's got a black wig on.
I'm just going to let you run with that. I was not going to say no, you're not, because I thought it'd be more fun. Oh, dear.
You prick.
So what are your... So next year you were saying about when the spring and summer comes, you're looking at getting some tarantulas and scorpions. Mm. So what were the species you were saying? What's on your dream wish list and your I think I'm going to get wish list?
Oh, there's always a lot, you know what I mean? Like, I see so many things that are just tempting. But I'd really like to kind of get more into, like, Syriacosmus. Like, I've got Syriacosmus elegans at the moment, but I really want to get some of the more, like, you know, slightly rarer species. Like, I saw Syriacosmus rittei on the Spider Shop website the other day, and I got to the checkout, and then I saw that they didn't... I mean, I was working all of the days that they were supposed to be, like, able to deliver, so I ended up not buying it, but probably good for the sake of my bank account. But I've seen a few more, but I think Syriacosmus rittei is like my dream species at the moment, and I love wolf spiders as well. I've got a little Hogna carolinensis, my little willow.
I love it.
So sweet. I got her at the last Taunton show, and I would love to be able to breed her at some point, because I think like it's so cute how they all grip onto the mother's back, and I'd love to see that.
If you speak to Jeremy, I'm sure he can send you like 5,000 pictures.
Yeah, I think
and a sling.
Hogna everything, Jeremy.
And like I would love to have Hogna lenta as well, which like they're kind of like a white wolf spider.
Yeah. They're gorgeous.
Well, nice. Love again, it. Lush. You have to keep us updated.
I will. And I've been talking to Hannes as well, and he has got me into like the Chaeralis genus of scorpions. And I really want to get some of those as well. They're probably my next thing, I would say. Mm-hmm. Once it warms up a little bit.
I love Hannes. Such a fun.
Yeah. Remember when we were talking about scorpions and I think it came out that I had a heterometrus, and he was like a moment of like 10 seconds of silence of absolute disdain.
Yeah, I told him that I was going to get a heterometrus as well, and I knew from obviously the podcast that I knew that he wasn't like not the biggest fan of heterometrus, but then I was kind of like, what would you recommend that's not heterometrus but it's easy and it's you know, fun? And he recommended several, but Chairlist being like the one that I want the most.
Yeah, they are great. Mm-hmm. they've just come into the country, I think, in the last like year and a half, maybe. Properly.
Lovely.
They were quite hard to come by, but I think in the last year and a half they've actually like exploded in the UK now. Probably wouldn't be much help for keeping them if they're exploding.
No.
Exploding scorpions.
You know who else does keep a good amount of scorpions? Alicia's arthropods. She got me into scorpions.
I think there's an interesting excuse me. There's a really interesting sort of juxtaposition between people that buy a species or collect a certain species for genus and scientific reasons, and people that keep a certain species for aesthetic reasons. Like when I had my heterometrus, I wanted that because it's your archetypical big black scorpion. There's no sort of interest to it. It's not a fascinating species in any way.
I love them.
I do, yeah. I think if you want a big black scorpion, that's where you go, isn't it? It's like,
yeah, I mean, you've got what's the emperor scorpion? What's the scientific name? Pandanus emperor, something like that.
Not a clue.
Something like that, I think. But they're expensive because they are massive. But the heterometrus, you can if you want to, you can handle them if you've.
Mm.
And safely, even if they sting you, it's not gonna be the end of the world.
No. And mine was never aggressive or anything.
No.
No.
Oh, I got you that one, didn't
you? Did,
I?
Yeah. Gorgeous it was.
I've heard people call them goth lobsters, and I love that. They really are.
I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that either. Yeah.
But I feel like that was so perfect. Like
Yeah, I think you do. I think I think it almost goes to show what sort of keeper you are, whether you're like an aesthetic keeper or a scientific keeper, I think.
I think you can be... Hazel's both.
Yeah, I like to try and be both, you know. I feel like that's not even something I've consciously done, but it's just like, I feel like I'm an aesthetics keeper, but then, like, because I was in biology, like, I started making like text posts about like specific species, and I didn't think they would do well like at all. I thought people would just scroll past them and be like, oh, what's this? But a lot of people actually like them, and I'm kind of like hoping to make it a bit of a series once I have a bit more time. But
I love your info posts and the memes as well. I love the memes, but your info posts are everything because they are just so, like you said, I love the aesthetic of them. Like, they have your animals. And I was reading one the other day for Willow, and she's got, like, a little nurse hat on.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Oh, I like them. As you can see, the cutout tool, you know, that you have in the phone, like the iPhone now, is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. So useful.
Yeah.
I think that's the interesting difference between someone that has a very scientifically... a background, educational background, and has an interest in a certain hobby like Hazel, and someone who's just shallow like me.
Very true. And I have ugly enclosures because I'm not creative in any way.
You don't have ugly enclosures.
Not my reptiles. My spiders, though. I think it's because I'm just so used to them absolutely trashing them. So I'm just
It's so hard to keep them nice. Yeah. Like, I have a nice one for my wolf spider Willow, but, like, I try and make my tarantulas ones nice, but then they just bulldoze it. Like, there's nothing I can do about it.
And how personally do you take it the first couple of times they do it? It's like, you do, you're like, I put that in there for you. And it's like, then it's like, oh, you know, you send them to their room, don't you? But I think I do like the way they actually with so many animals, they are so they're so good at getting things how they like. Like with the two bunny rabbits, they are so strong-willed. They will just, if you put something in there they don't like, they'll just push it out to one side or put it by the door
And I always feel like your tarantula has done something in a certain way in their little like tarantula brain. That's how they want it.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're like, it was always my ASMR name. Ivy, because they're like technically terrestrial, but like quite opportunistic burrowers. And she used to, it didn't matter like what I put her in, she would absolutely ruin it every time. Every single time she would trash the joint. And I just had to be like, you know what? That's how she's done it.
That's how you want it. Leave it how you
want it. I was literally thinking of mine as well, because that's what mine does. I looked in on her enclosure just today, and I suddenly remembered that I put a cork bark in there somewhere, like a piece of like a just nice little starter burrow, and I don't even see that piece of cork bark anymore. Like, it's just in there somewhere, like buried.
Yeah,
and I forget that it's there.
you really do get to that. You get to that point very, very quickly where you realise you've got to leave them to it, and it's their home. It's not a diorama, is it? It's like, it's their home. It's theirs to do with as they wish.
Yeah, I have heard that, like, if you have mature spiders, you know, they tend to do that a bit less. But I don't know. I feel like my Aphonopelma simani is going to do that forever. It's just going to always mess up a home.
I'm assuming that the mature spiders do it less because they've had a whole lifetime to get it right. If they're in the same enclosure.
You'd think.
My G. Pulchra Morgan is just her enclosure. If you saw her enclosure, you'd literally call the RSPCA on me. It looks awful. And I'm just like, do you know what? That's what she's done. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I put, because she's only small, I haven't put live plants in there. But I put like a lovely cork bark hide, a bowl, like some plants. She's in a, like a little exoteric cube and it's lovely. And then like I moved house and she just decided to dig up all the substrate from one end and put it against the door. And it's literally just a hill of dirt, and she's covered the cork bark tube and her water bowl. So when I water her enclosure, because she doesn't have a bowl, I just have to like just drench the place. But like on feeding day, she'll come like running up the hill and I'm like, girl, this is horrible. It's so ugly. And she had the audacity as well to web it to the door. So she was like reinforcing it when she put it there. But I think unfortunately, my Nandu Trapepi baby, I think she's at the end of the road. She's very old now. And in the last few days, she's been like quite lethargic and not curling up, but she's very stressed, very stressed. You know, when they pull their arms and legs right over their body, she's been just doing that constantly, and like nothing has changed in her enclosure, nothing at all has changed in her environment. She thinks she's very old now.
Oh, that's a shame. I love baby. She's like so fluffy. Every time I see a picture of her, I'm just like, why are they so furry if they don't want us to pet them? Like,
yeah.
If not friend, why friend shaped?
Exactly. Yeah,
she's just molted, and it was an odd one because when she went into pre-molt, she didn't, I'm not sure whether she went too early or something, but she didn't really go into, so she stopped eating, and I was just like, well, that's not unusual for her, she's like proper mature female, they can go for ages. But her abdomen was kind of staying the same size, it wasn't getting bigger like it does before they molt. And then one day I was like, oh right, she's molting. I'm not sure. She's hardened up fine, but she didn't really like have like a proper pre-molt. So I'm wondering whether she's just like old now and she's just, you know, but she's a good like 10 years old. I got her and she was about 4 years old when I got her.
Well, I'm going to hope that it's just like the cold weather, because it has been really cold lately. Hopefully like when it warms up, she'll be her little self again.
I guess they know what they do to get through what's happening, don't they? You know, like if it is cold, maybe they do a certain thing to keep, you know, their fluids flowing and things. I get fascinated between the difference between spider and tarantula personality and tarantula science. You know, there's a sort of there's a really nice little bond between why are they doing something? Is it personality or science? You okay there?
Yeah, just all of a sudden, I can feel my asthma right on my chest.
I'm coughing too, because like I have a cold. Everyone at my work has had like a horrible like norovirus this week.
Oh. Maybe the cold will keep the norovirus at bay.
Hopefully, this is the stronger of the two.
Right.
So what we normally do is we normally list a keeper that we are always impressed by and want to celebrate. And we will always highlight something that we think is phenomenally shady. But what we'd like to start doing is asking our guests, because they are more always more interesting than we are. And we'd always like to get a you know, your opinion on what you want to celebrate and what you want to call out as shady. So
you can absolutely call out Rich in this. The worst.
Yeah.
You know, I've been preparing my shitty keeping because, like, this is like, it's such a great segment for the podcast, just because like it's like my therapy. Like your snake racks, I just. I remember hearing that and just feeling so validated, because, you know, Bob, like my ball python, he's actually a rack baby. Like, he was raised in a rack and he was rescued by one of my friends and then she ended up giving him to me. But just the thought of him living in a rack when he was a baby is like so sad to me. Like, but yeah, I did love that part.
Yeah, honestly,
it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. I don't get it.
I've got tofu and honey. Oh my god, will you put your phone on silent?
I don't know anyone.
But your alarm goes off and you get a text in the space of 30 seconds.
But at least you're not highlighting it.
Yeah, at the moment, because I've had to move in with my parents, tofu and honey are in rubs. They're huge. But like, even that is making my skin crawl. Because I just don't have the space. Steve, because of his humidity needs, had to go into a viv, so I've just made space. But like, luckily tofu and honey are pretty, they're arid species, but like, I can't imagine. But their rubs are huge, so, but then I can't, and that makes my skin crawl. But then I can't imagine just putting a whole adult ball python in a drawer and just shutting it and being like, yeah, sick, that's sound, that is.
I don't know which is worse, just having one in a tub in a rack, like those shallow horrible little dark grey things, or when you see people having like 30 on a wall and you think, that's just, I don't get it.
There's a really well-known keeper, and I won't name them because they'll kick off, but they proudly display their rack so often and it makes my skin crawl. They're all blackout tubs. So not, and they also have fuck all in them apart from
a snake
and maybe a piece of like kitchen towel. There is nothing else in there. They're blackout tubs, and so I just cannot. And people say, oh, you know, well, they're eating their poo in, they're drinking, so they're fine. I'm like, those are the basic functions of any animal.
I also just, yeah, I love it when they say stuff like, oh, you know, in the wild they live in like termite mounds, and I'm like, yeah, but they're not shut into the termite mounds.
Yeah.
And also, a very famous study, when they went and found, a bunch of scientists went out to is it East or West? West Africa they're from, isn't it? Yeah, North South Sea. Yeah, West Africa. 60% of the ball pythons they found in the wild were in trees. 60%. Honestly, it is just shitty people who want to hoard animals. And do you know what? Most of the time, it's always ball python breeders, isn't it? Oh, it makes me so angry.
They're the worst.
Oh, I'm so triggered.
I'm scared now. So what's yours then, Hazel?
My actual shitty keeping of the week. I'm going to give it to Froggy's Lair, and I feel like I am going to trigger Fiona. I'm not sure whether Rich knows about this, but I have probably already triggered Fiona with just those two
you
words.
You absolutely have, yes, correct.
Yeah.
No, what's this?
Oh, so essentially, like, it was a company that tried to, like, sell pairs of African dwarf frogs, actually saying you could keep more than two in the enclosure. The enclosures were called biospheres, which, like, they're not even spheres, so, like, I don't know why they called them that. But they were, at maximum capacity, they could fit about half a gallon of water, so they were tiny. And the thing that was even worse was that they said that they didn't need filtering because, you know, like, I don't keep any aquatic setups. Like, I had goldfish when I was a kid, but, like, obviously I knew that we had to have a filter to keep the kind of chemical, you know, balance, mm-hmm. I guess, in the tank. So, you know, when people are asking them, like, do these need a filter? They say, no, they don't need a filter because there's, like, the substrate that you would use in them, you know, it, like, contributes to the nitrogen cycle. And it's really, really strange, unscientific. And the thing that pissed me off the most was that they got verified as, like, a STEM company. So, like, a science, tech, engineering and maths company. And, like, they essentially what they were doing was selling these things not to, like, you know, at, like, shows or anything like that. They were selling them in toy shops and in vape shops.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Craziest thing. So the birth of my little Instagram page was kind of just slagging them off and commenting, always getting my comments deleted, but hoping that maybe they read before they deleted. Doubt to see that they did, but
they probably did and didn't care.
What are they called?
Yeah, exactly.
Froggy's Lair. They're the worst. Like,
are they still going?
Oh, I have good news for you. They're actually not.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I checked in on them probably like 4 or 5 months ago now, and their website was still up, but I saw that they were not selling the biospheres anymore. They weren't selling any more frogs. I think they were just selling like the little pellets of food that you could buy for them. Mm. Yeah, about a month ago now, I saw a little post on Reddit saying like they have finally closed. Like the shop is, you can't find it anymore. And it was actually like, there's an organization called Aquatic Ally, and they like, it was pretty much them that got the kind of the company shut down, which obviously like it's a massive win for the community. Cause it just shows that someone's doing something that's not ethical. You know, if we like organize and we do it properly, we can actually get them shut down, which is really, really good.
Yeah. I think even in the time I've been in the community, in the hobby, the community has changed to way more responsible keepers. Like when I was first getting interested in tarantulas and looking at tarantulas, I used to see way more shady keeping than I do now. I don't know if it's just because I blocked everyone, but I just don't see the shit that I used to. And I think that's down to the community in general being more, you know, knowledgeable and more alert and sort of, you know, happy to sort of call shit out. Whereas, you know, it's nice that this crap doesn't last. I think it's very encouraging.
It's good, yeah. When I first got my leopard gecko, people were quite like, they were very divided on whether loose substrate was good or bad. Like, there was one group that thought like loose substrate was Satan, and if your leopard gecko even touches it with their foot, they'll get impacted and they'll die. And the other half that was like, if you're not giving loose substrate, then you are abusing your gecko. And like, I at the time was so confused by both of these.
Yeah, same.
I just got reptile carpet and left it. And I used that for probably like 2 months before I just was like, fuck it, I'm going to use, you know, loose substrate. Mm-hmm. But I see like now if someone tries to use loose substrate, people like smack them down. Oh no, if they try and use like reptile carpet or like one of the bad substrates, people would just like smack them down, which is great.
Yeah, I understand the reptile carpet thing because I raised honey on I raised honey on soil for ages. I don't know why I did that, but it was dry, but it was just soil. And then she got bigger and I put her into like this big Exoterra, and I put her on reptile carpet, and I got so many DMs, and like I was like, fuck guys, I didn't know, I'm so sorry. And I literally like 2 days later I changed it out to like a sand mix, pro rep sand mix, not the Kelsey sand, obviously.
Oh, nightmare.
Well, I'm very glad that like the community has rallied and well, and the was it the Aquatic Alliance, was it?
Oh yeah, it was Aquatic Ally. Yeah. Really, really good.
Amazing.
I used to talk to them quite a lot on Instagram, but they've not really been quite as active on Instagram. But I saw them comment on the Reddit post when Froggy's Lair got shut down, and that was just great to see because it was just a massive win, really. And it's a happy ending to my shitty keeping, but like obviously it's not a happy ending for like the all the frogs that had to be in shit situations, but it's at least there are no more of them going into it now.
Mm-hmm. It's insane to me as someone who had I had 7 African clawed frogs, my chicken breasts. I love them so much. But again, they were an animal that I had to rehome when I moved in with my parents. And they went off to live with a massive colony up north somewhere. Anyway, this tank was like 10 foot long or something. Anyway, so they went off to a great home. But like their water was, I used this filter that was like insane filter, because obviously there was 7 of them, so there's 7 loads of waste. But also you want to keep the water perfectly clear because they live in it. And so for a professional company to say you don't need a filter, well, I say professional company, not professional.
Not really unprofessional.
No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
For a company with so much reach, I suppose, to say you don't need a filter is just... How do you sleep at night?
And I think that's the problem, is that when you come into any hobby, you assume that the people that are selling products and selling animals are conscientious and can only recommend something good. If you're new to a hobby, you don't assume that what you're going to buy from a seller is going to be something that's terrible for the animals, do you?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was just going to say that, like, unfortunately, like, the people they marketed them mainly towards were, like, parents and kids and also teachers for like educational purposes, and I just thought, like, you know, that's, it just adds another like layer of sad to it, you know, because obviously the kids are gonna buy it and then they're not gonna thrive because they can't, you know, because they're in these tiny little enclosures, you know, with water that I think another thing they said was that you should only change the water, half the water every 2 to 3 months, which which is insane. Like,
oh my god.
Because I've never kept an aquatic setup because I just know that they're really high maintenance.
They are.
So yeah, it was just awful. Just altogether.
Yeah. Do you know one thing I don't miss though was bloodworms? They stank.
Ooh. Actually, anyway. Yeah, I've got memories of, I think, giving those to my goldfish at home.
They did smell exactly like blood. It was horrible.
Do you know what I don't miss?
What?
Trains. I always get there really early.
No, Hazel, don't laugh.
I'm going to enable him.
Do you know what's funny, though, is, like, about this Froggy's Lair thing? It's like, I had a full, not an argument with someone once, but someone watched a YouTube video where I had got I was keeping a small juvenile Piscetheria in a really tall pasta Tupperware thing.
Oh no.
And it was big Tupperware. I put drilled holes in it. So essentially great for a tiny little Piscetheria, right?
Yeah, like the perfect size.
Yeah. And it was, you know, when everyone was using those like the lids with the little handles on it, kind of like airlocked them. So it literally had like air holes all down every 3 of the 4 sides because I still wanted to look at my tarantula. And I was doing this setup on YouTube, and this guy had found me on YouTube and then come to my Instagram to go nuts at me. And I was like, he was like, you know, they shouldn't be living in Tupperware, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, but what is a tarantula crib if not a fancy Tupperware? And he was like, no, it's different. And I was like, how? And he was like, well, that's for food. I was like, yeah, but I haven't got food in it. I've got my tarantula in it. And I was like, I remember we were just going round and round circles, and I was just like, look, man, if you can give me, it's like a proper argument why this is like a bad thing. Apart from the fact that the container was originally designed for food. And he didn't reply.
No, I can understand that.
Yeah, I'm like a massive Tupperware keeper. I think, if I have like, you know, a spider that is going to grow out of the home that I'm about to put it in, like, I'm 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a Tupperware. And you can like design your own ventilation and stuff like that. It's pretty good. I love Tupperware.
Yeah, and like, honestly, and like, if you've got like a little drill, or even like when you have like the hard plastic, you need to drill. But when you have those like softer plastic Tupperwares, you just need to like, heat up a screw so you poke it through.
Yeah.
And like it takes 2 minutes. And then also the enclosure costs like £2.
Yeah.
And you've got massive enclosure. There was this I kept, because my favourite genus is Sampaeus, and there were these massive round, I mean, there were, I did make a mistake with keeping arboreal tarantulas with a top opening Tupperware, but you know what, that's a story for another day. Sampaeus ran up my arm. Anyway, these massive circle Tupperwares, they were huge, and they were 50p each. And I was like, great. And they could have gone, and like the mate, I had two males mature in those and stay in them until they died because they were that big. I was like, 50p.
I tell you what, the mistake I made was getting a top opening enclosure for a jumping spider. Oh, that is literally
that is
so school.
I did the same thing when I first got Fig as well. Yeah, he kept making little nests like on the side or like on this kind of side of the top, and I kept having to open the enclosure and be like, "No, Fig, that's not." And then I got him.
But he's literally like, "No, I am in the right here."
Yeah, that's
it. You're in the wrong.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, this is where I'm meant to make my home, you freak.
I did literally feel like I was in the wrong.
I bought mine on eBay, and it was actually sold as a jumping spider enclosure.
I remember your one. Yeah. Didn't you end up putting a cabana in there?
Yeah, I did, yeah, until it outgrew. I think, yeah. I had two in the end of those two things. I sent them off to Becky. I gave them to Becky.
What did you?
Yeah. She messaged me and said, where did you get your enclosures? And I was like, well, actually, I've got two spare. You can have them if you want them.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, because she was putting, I think she might have been putting pokies in them, I think.
I miss keeping
pokies. Tiny. Yeah.
Aww. Do you know what, though? It's frustrating. But not in, like, any way against him. Is in January, I'm moving in with my boyfriend. And I'm taking all my animals with me, but he's not scared of the tarantulas. He finds them quite interesting, but obviously I'm moving into his house, so I can't get like H-marks or S-cals or pokies or anything like that. I've got to be quite sensible with the animals I keep now, so no more crazy.
Get a C-versy and say you always have it. Oh, I've always had that, remember?
Remember?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a T. Vegans at the moment, Ruby, who is a mature male, and he is, I don't know how he's still alive, he's been mature for about 18 months. So, I mean, he's going to outlive baby. I'll be fuming if he does, you know.
And what is your, who would you like to,
who would you like
to celebrate? Yeah, yeah. Who do you admire as a keeper or... what they do?
I feel like I have so many, and I had to again like really narrow it down, but I'm gonna choose Ellie or Spiders for Dummies. I don't know, do you follow her? You probably do. Yeah, she's amazing. She uploads like so regularly, which I mean, I haven't uploaded in like a month, so that's wild to me that she has something. Like, I haven't been able to find anything in a month that's worth posting, but she pretty much every day. And her animals, like, you see a different one of them every day, and they always look really well cared for. You can tell that they're really loved. She's lovely as well. Like, she will always give help. You know, she sends me Animal Crossing memes. She's just great. So I'd like to nominate her.
Oh, fantastic. I
will absolutely have to check her account out and give her a follow.
Should.
You do follow her.
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
This is how bad my memory is.
No, I saw she takes loads of pictures of like random true spiders. So like there was a really cute picture of an orb weaver she put up, and it was like, it looked like his legs were like all squidged up. It was so cute. And then there was like another one of a true spider holding an egg sack, which is like just the cutest thing ever. But then like she also, I saw pinned to her profile was a Ephebopus, and all of his toes were in a line. It's so cute.
Every time I see a picture of that spider, I just want to steal him. Like he's so cute.
I'm just looking now, she's got vampire crabs, I think. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
We just play some interlude music now while we just
while we all go scroll her account.
Yeah.
Do 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 do. Yeah, her pictures are awesome.
There is definitely an art to getting a good picture, isn't there? There's,
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like as we said earlier on, you bring out the cute in yours every time. So it's funny. Yeah, it's funny how some people can just really capture something in their pets that they want to portray. And
yeah, it's so clever.
Yeah, it's like we said earlier on as well. Like I look at Flo and I think, oh, you're gorgeous. But whenever I take a picture of her, she looks like a killing machine. She's just all fangs and legs. But it's like when I look at her, I go, oh, you're so fuzzy and adorable. Yeah. But every time I take a picture, I think, I'm scared of you. Yeah.
Of Flo?
No, not realistically, just for comic purposes.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much for that. And we'll post a link on Instagram for anyone that doesn't follow her, but by the sounds of it, they definitely should be.
Yeah, I'm sure if they follow me, they probably followed her like years before.
Yeah. Do you find you do that thing where you look at pictures and you like you see a picture but you don't stop to look who it's by? You're sort of looking and you're sort of scrolling through pictures and you're like, you know, you sort of really like the picture, but you haven't taken the time to look to see who it's who posted it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm actually sort of confessing to being half-assed on Instagram saying that.
Mm.
Not giving the people the credit they deserve.
No, I feel like you can't keep up with that many people.
No.
It's a big community and it's growing like all the time.
Mm. Something I do like to ask, because I always think that there's definitely more that somebody'd like to share. Is there anything that we haven't asked or anything that you haven't touched on that you'd like to add, or that we should have asked about, or we should have asked but didn't?
Do you know what, it's all going to come into my brain like the minute that I leave the stream, and I'll be like, why didn't I talk about this? I don't actually think that there is.
Good. Well, that's good, because that means that we've touched everything that you wanted to, not, which is one thing you tell me not to, isn't it?
Touch people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. It's not just me that says it.
But no, most people I meet tell me not to.
I think we've touched once by accident. Oh, no, you kept touching me when we were recording.
That was fun.
Yeah. No, it was horrible. I just see this, like, tiny little finger coming towards me. I hate people touching me. Honestly, yes. Just don't ever touch me.
It's because I'm not intellectually adept enough to rile you, so I just got to reach your little finger out.
You can't, there is nothing you can say to me that I've not said 6 inches from a mirror.
Oh.
I also love you saying, like, because I'm sure there's things that you want to share, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, literally the minute that anyone asks me that, my brain just goes blank. So
I should have asked it at the start. And then by the time you come to the end, you might remember.
It is literally like when someone says, like, what bands are you into? And you're like, I've forgotten every piece of music.
Yeah.
Somebody asks you a question and you have to ring them up an hour later and go, yes, this is what I think of that.
I'm really cool. Please,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone said to me the other day, what's your favourite song? And I was like, oh, I've literally got my favourite band's logo tattooed on me, and I was like, I don't know any music.
Yeah, you're right.
So, do we have any AOB?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a yes, no question.
No, I mean, I have no idea what AOB is.
Any other business.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
Yeah. Was there anything that you wanted to add that we haven't...
Oh my god, no.
I still haven't thought of anything.
we'll leave the stream open until later, just come back to you.
Yeah, I'll come back like 7 this evening. I'll be like, hey, I want to talk about this,
by the way.
Yeah. Well, honestly, we just cannot thank you enough for coming on and joining us.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for having me on. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been, like, I've followed your account for so long. And, like, me and Rich talk about you, like, at least once a week.
Mm. Yeah, I was so fascinated because I'm like, what do you say? I just assume that, like, no one or people just remember me, like, when I post. And then the rest of the time, I'm just kind of out of their minds. But I didn't even know, like,
it's either if you have posted something, we're just like, oh my god, it's so cute. Animals, cute, clever keeper,
cute and clever. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Oh, so thank you very much again. And
Leah, any thoughts?
Little tiny touch and she, like, with a paintbrush, and she goes,
Right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. And we will catch you next time. Bye-bye. Just notice your slippers.
They're not slippers, they're shoes.
I wish we had a camera on, Hazel, because you should see them.
Oh, they
are fantastic.
They're
oh, okay. They're like if you had a Native American Indian that was really stylish.